So let's bring in Aaron Torres, college basketball writer for Fox Sports, to help us with our brackets here tonight. Thanks for doing this, Aaron. Let's start off this way. Which teams kind of got a little bit screwed with Selection Sunday yesterday?
Guys, you know, first of all, thank you for having me. So honestly, I think it was about the least controversial Selection Sunday that I can ever remember. I think that for people who maybe don't follow the sport 365 days a year, which is obviously understandable, there's a lot going on in the sports world, it was considered kind of an exceptionally weak year for bubble teams. So I really think that outside of an Illinois State, there probably isn't a team that's kind of sitting there today saying, man, we just totally got screwed by the committee. What's interesting, though, is that I think you can make the case that Kentucky got pretty screwed by the committee in terms of just their draw. Yeah. You guys, I'm sure, have talked about it throughout the day. But this is a team that I think they've won 7 or 8 in a row, won the SEC, have some nice wins on their schedule, including against, ironically, North Carolina. But their road to the national championship right now let me rephrase that. Their road to the Final Four would include Wichita State, who's always kind of a good mid-major school, as well as UCLA with Lonzo Ball, and then UNC. And that's just to get to the Final Four, where they could play the likes of Kansas, Villanova, Duke, whoever. So I would say, and I think it's pretty consensus around the sport, that if there's one fan base that really has reason to complain today, it's probably actually Kentucky.
I mean, no one really sheds tears for them, though, but this seems to be an issue year in, year out with Kentucky. Like, every single year, it feels like Calipari's guys get a little screwed. But again, I'm not really feeling too bad for them.
I was going to say really quick is that, you know, Kentucky fans say that, but it feels like there's some truth to it. And for people who remember last year it was they had Indiana in the Sweet 16 and or in the second round, excuse me. And so I don't know whether it's that, you know, there's different theories floating around that the NCAA still has it out for Calipari, which I don't believe. What I do believe is that Kentucky makes for great television. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. It always seems like there's some kind of weird hook. You know, one year they played Louisville in the Sweet 16. One year when Wichita State was a number one seed, they somehow ended up with Kentucky in the second round when Kentucky was an 8 seed. So it does seem ironic that there always appears, whether it's the second or third round, to have a made-for-TV type event. And this year, obviously, is no exception if Kentucky keeps advancing.
You can always hook me in on a good conspiracy, so I'm all in on this, by the way. Like, I believe it. I believe that the selection committee sits in a big, dark room, and they just, like, cackle when they make the bracket for Kentucky every year. Like, that's just what I choose to believe.
How are we going
to
screw Calipari this year, guys?
Yeah, how are we
going
to figure it out? Go ahead.
I would add one more note to that conspiracy theory. The one thing they do know is that Calipari will talk about it. So, I don't know how much of it is true. I can't say I've ever served on a selection committee, but I'm with you guys. A good conspiracy theory never hurt anybody.
Yeah, and again, it really did get helped by Wichita State not only being a 10 seed, but being right there in their bracket. That hurts. But I do want to get to some of your potential upset picks, who you like in this tournament. We wanted to hear some of your picks, but first of all, up here in Canada, I think the natural default team this year was going to be Oregon. They got our boy Dylan Brooks. They have Chris Boucher. But now he goes down to an ACL injury, and it kind of feels like a lot of people are writing them off because of the three-point shot that he provides and the blocked shots. Do you feel like that's a fair assessment? They're basically done without him?
Yeah. First of all, by the way, you missed another prominent Canadian, Dylan.
Oh, Ennis. Yeah, no, we know.
Yeah.
We got
Ennis.
Yeah. That's what I mean. That's our team. That's Team Canada. Like, that's our squad this year.
It's really funny. So I live in L.A., and last year their regionals against Duke and Oklahoma were in Southern California, and I was doing some freelance work for another Canadian outlet. I won't say it because, you know, I think they're your rivals. But
people know it exists, though.
And I did a story on how Oregon really was Canada's team, and those same three players, well, Dylan Ennis was out with an injury, but the other two were prominently involved, you know, in last year's run to the Elite Eight. But I totally agree with you guys, is that I think they're totally being overlooked. I mean, this was a team that was playing for potentially a number one seed in the Pac-12 tournament. Obviously, Boucher goes down. It's so disappointing, not just, you know, not just for your audience, but for all of college basketball, because he really is a difference maker, and his role had changed a little bit since last year. But you saw it for people who stayed up for that Arizona game on Saturday night. They just weren't the same team on the glass, on the boards, all that stuff. And I really do feel like there is kind of this consensus right now that Oregon is done, that their season is over. And I don't know if it's just because they're not a kind of a traditional school and people weren't really paying attention to them anyways or what. But I found it interesting just kind of being on social media and seeing some of the reactions to the brackets being released, is that I think a lot of people are just penciling Louisville, which is the number two seed in that region, right into the Elite Eight with a potential matchup with Kansas, and not really giving Oregon much of a shot. I would say you guys know this Oregon squad. You guys know what Dylan Brooks is capable of. You guys know, obviously, some of the role players on that team. Jordan Bell, who I think is going to hear his name called on NBA draft night this year. And a couple other guys on that roster are real difference-making players. I'm with you guys. I don't know if I'm picking Oregon necessarily to make a deep run, but the idea that they're not capable of it is laughable. The other thing, too, by the way, for all the talk about how they did not win without Chris Boucher on Saturday against Arizona, they lost by 3 points to a really good team. So yeah, this is a dangerous team, and I'm with you guys. I feel like they're flying totally under the radar going into this tournament.
Aaron Torres, our guest here on Sportsnet tonight as we break down the March Madness bracket. Who do you like for some upsets here, Aaron? I know Middle Tennessee was a big one last year. Are they gonna make some noise again?
Yeah, I'll give you a great thing on Middle Tennessee State, and this isn't even necessarily, you know, my personal opinion, but, you know, you guys sound like sharp, savvy kind of sports connoisseurs, and like the one thing that came out today, which I thought was interesting, was that Middle Tennessee, Minnesota, who they play, that game is a pick'em in Vegas. So the Vegas folks think that those two teams are about even. That's not even my analysis or expertise or opinion. That's just Vegas saying like these two teams are pretty evenly matched up. So I think the advantage there probably goes to Middle Tennessee State. Ironically, a team that has NCAA tournament experience from last year against Michigan State, they've got more tournament experience than Minnesota does. So to me, that's an obvious one. I think University of Rhode Island, they play Creighton in the early round, in the first round, excuse me.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Like, yes, URI. I'm down. I'm with it.
Yeah, last time URI was in the tournament, they had some guy named Lamar Odom on their team, so that's always a fun fact. But, like, you know, they're a team really quick, and shout out Fox Sports. My colleague Evan Daniels had URI coach Danny Hurley on his podcast last week, and Danny Hurley basically said, like, look, our two best players, they're two kids named EC Matthews and Hassan Martin. I almost had said Hassan Whiteside there, which would have been bad. But Hassan Martin, they were two kind of really highly ranked recruits that could have gone to a Big East school, could have gone to maybe a second-tier ACC school like a Wake Forest or something like that. But they chose to come to Rhode Island. And you add those guys in with the other pieces, I mean, they're a talented team, and they get a banged-up Creighton team in the first round. Those are two that I'm definitely keeping my eye on. Obviously, if URI won, they would have Canada's beloved Oregon Ducks in the second round. But we won't get that far. I'll just say that I really feel pretty confident that URI is going to be able to handle things against Creighton in that first round.
Yeah, my only thing is that with that game, and I actually picked URI too. I think like they're a nice, like undersized but athletic team. My only thing, though, is that at the center position, I don't know how they're going to handle Patton. Like that seems like going to be a bit of a task for them to say, hey, you know what, guard this footer, even though like our big is going to be 6'7". But anyway, I think that's
a great point. I was going to say the one thing that kind of concerns me really quick, and I know I just talked them up, but sometimes when teams make these really incredible conference tournament runs, they kind of have a letdown in the NCAA tournament. Seton Hall, we saw it last year, and there's other examples of that. So that's something else to keep an eye on. But I think the Patton example is excellent. But yeah, I feel the same way about URI that you guys do as far as their opportunity to get that win a few nights from now.
So the other thing I always like looking at, and it's usually overrated as hell, but I'm curious to get your thought on it, is how much do you weigh how hot a team is going into the tournament versus a team that's really cold? Because I think a lot of people, when they make their brackets, they look at teams that are struggling or that got ousted out of their tournaments, their conference tournaments really quickly, and say, okay, that team's no good. Because I mean, like, we all seem to always have that thing embedded in our brain, the UConn run with Kemba Walker.
Of course. Yeah. So look, I don't think a loss in a conference tournament precludes you from winning the national championship. Ironically, I think something like five of the last six national champions actually didn't win their conference tournaments, including Villanova last year. To me, it's more of a general, how are you playing to close the year? So I'll just give you guys an example from this year. Is a lot of people, there was a lot of to-do about Wisconsin being an eight seed. And frankly, they shouldn't be an eight seed. And we talked about gripes with the selection committee. That's definitely one of them. But the thing is, if you really look at Wisconsin, they played reasonably well in their conference tournament. They got some favorable matchups, got to the final, lost to Michigan. But over the last 3 or 4 weeks, they just really haven't been playing good basketball. And I think, look, everybody can have a bad night in a conference tournament. Villanova easily could have lost their semifinal this year. Duke, you know, for all the excitement of their tournament run, could have lost two or three of those games. So to me, I don't worry so much about a loss in a conference tournament. I do kind of get concerned if you've had a bad 2 or 3 weeks. That's why for all the hype with Wisconsin, I think they're going to struggle with Virginia Tech in round one. And there are some other teams like that. But the broader point is, no, I don't worry about it. And I think historically it shows that, you know, if you lose in that conference tournament, that doesn't preclude you from having success in the NCAA tournament, assuming that all the other boxes are checked as far as playing well over the course of the last couple weeks this season.
Hey, Aaron, we're plumb out of time, but quickly, who do you got in your final four?
Oh, boy. All right. I'll try to make this as quick as I can. So I'm super lame here.
You chalk. Don't worry, baby.
Chalk.
Don't be afraid to admit who you are. I'm a chalk guy.
It's okay. We're a little bit of square pants here ourselves.
So I like Villanova in the East. I think, like, Duke legit deserves the hype, but I just think Villanova, I just love who they are. North Carolina, I like in the South. I just think that UCLA-Kentucky matchup is going to be a war, and North Carolina is the beneficiary of that. I guess in the Midwest, I will take Louisville. I know I kind of talked them down a few minutes ago with the whole Oregon factor, but you know, I can only see the Kansas story so many times before I just can't buy it anymore. And then in the West, I'm still torn. I know every year we hype up Gonzaga, and every year they disappoint. But this
no.
is a good team.
No, I refuse.
Right, I'll just go with Arizona.
I refuse. Yes. Okay. Good. Fine.
Listen, it'd be great for the tournament if Arizona makes the Final Four, because the Final Four is in Arizona.
Yeah.
But all I'll say is this really quick. I know you guys got to go,
yeah,
but
it's okay.
Gonzaga is legitimate. That doesn't mean they're going to win the tournament. There's 67 teams in this tournament that aren't going to win it. But Gonzaga has NBA players. They have guys that transferred from Washington and Missouri. They're a real team. And I hope for their sake that they make a deep run, because I think it's time to shut everyone up once and for all. But I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case, because they're going to have a really good matchup, a matchup with a really good Arizona team in the Elite Eight.